With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Big brands are launching a new initiative to sell reusable containers.
The question is, are people willing to take that extra time? And are they willing to pay a deposit fee? And are they willing to pay shipping fees that they may not have to pay if they could just walk into a grocery store or buy on Amazon using Prime?
Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury joins us from London with the details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Hundreds of thousands of government workers will miss a second paycheck on Friday as the partial government shutdown continues into a second month. Many families are struggling to make ends meet amid the shutdown, which began on December 22nd. Tawana Smith says it's been tough since her husband Charles Smith was furloughed from his government job.
My husband just had major surgery for his stomach cancer. Now with the shutdown, he's still on medical leave, but he's not getting paid, which puts us in a precarious situation because that was the income, with me taking a backseat to working to be a caregiver.
Tawana says her family won't be able to go another month without a paycheck.
I don't know when someone with sense is going to say, you know what, we don't need to be using federal workers as chess pieces, as leverage, because that's what it feels like. You're using people's lives as leverage.
For a video profile of the Smith family, head to our website, wsj.com/video. Companies and philanthropists are banding together to raise $500 million for affordable housing in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is facing a housing crunch. The effort, which includes Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan, follows calls from California Governor Gavin Newsom for the private sector to do more. Last week, Microsoft pledged $500 million to support affordable housing in Seattle, Washington. Malls struggling to fill vacancies will have an even tougher time without department store giant Sears. A report from Moody's says Sears plans to close more stores will hurt lower-tier regional malls the most. The department store sector shrank by 13% in 2018 and is expected to contract even further this year. Still to come, dozens of brands test reusable containers with consumers. Big brands are trying to get you to reuse containers, from food to personal hygiene products, in an effort to reduce waste. Joining us now from London with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury. Sabra, you found that over two dozen companies, including Procter & Gamble, Nestle, and PepsiCo, are taking on new efforts to reduce plastic waste. What are some of the tactics they're trying to get consumers on board?
Sure. So this particular story was about a trial that some of these names that you just mentioned are going to be launching starting in mid-May in Paris and also in New York. And the idea is that there would be a website, you as the consumer would go online, you'd see a range of products, whether it be your Pantene shampoo or Haagen-Dazs ice cream or Tropicana orange juice. All of these things are usually packaged in single-use plastic containers, but you would have the ability to buy them here in aluminum containers or stainless steel or glass bottles. And so you'd buy these products, you'd pay a deposit, you'd pay a shipping fee, and then these products would arrive at your house. And once you're done, you put them back in the bag that they came in, you schedule a pickup, and the containers get taken back to a warehouse, cleaned, refilled, and sent out to somebody else. And you have the option to kind of set up an automatic subscription. So as soon as you return that empty container, you get a new one sent to you. And I think the thinking behind this is really there has been a backlash against single-use plastic that's been growing for about, I'd say, the last 18 months. And this is the latest iteration of what companies are doing to try to address this. They're looking at recycling, but I think they realize you can't just keep making more and more and more plastic. And at some point, you need to think of a fundamentally different business model so that people aren't just buying things, using them once and throwing them away.
Sabra, you also had a piece in the Wall Street Journal this week about how plenty of compostables are still ending up in landfills, partly due to a lack of labeling instructions from brands to consumers on how to dispose of them. So for this particular initiative, how are big brands trying to combat that misinformation or lack of information and reach their consumers? And what are the challenges in doing that?
I think with this one, it should be relatively simple. The issue isn't so much about misinformation. It's about, will people really take to a model that is slightly more inconvenient than the model we have now, where you can just walk into any grocery store anyway, you know, buy your shampoo, once you're finished, put it in the recycling bin, or maybe even just in the trash, and go out and get a new one. And I think this will involve a little bit more thought, because you'd have to buy, you know, from specific places, and you'd have to buy specific products. And I think the question is, are people willing to take that extra time, and are they willing to pay a deposit fee? And are they willing to pay shipping fees that they may not have to pay if they could just walk into a grocery store or buy on Amazon using Prime? And so I think the question is less about information and more just about consumer behavior, and how much do people really want to change? I guess we'll see. That's why it's a trial.
Let's talk more about those costs, both for consumers and for companies. How much of a financial burden will this be?
It's really unclear at the moment, because it's a pilot and it's so small. And I think as these things scale, the costs start to come down. But there will be a few things that are more expensive for the consumer. One is, there'll be a deposit fee, which you wouldn't have to pay if you were using single-use plastic. The second thing is shipping. Shipping for this pilot starts at a very high price, which is $20 is the base shipping fee. It goes down every time you add an item to your cart. And TerraCycle tells me that once you've added about 7 items, your shipping should be free. But it's really unclear, I think, you know, how much you're going to end up paying in shipping. And that could be a prohibitive cost for a lot of people. And then for the companies themselves, they've had to invest, I was told, between 6 to 7 figures per brand for this trial, just in terms of making new packaging, new durable packaging. And then, of course, the logistical costs of dropping the stuff off, picking it back up, cleaning the containers, cleaning a box of moisturizer isn't necessarily going to be as simple as just, you know, a water bottle or a Coke bottle. So I think they do need special cleaning facilities. And so there'll be some deterioration of the containers as well over time. So I think it all just depends on how big is this thing going to get. You know, can TerraCycle, which is the recycling company that's actually leading the initiative, can they bring retailers in as partners, so you don't necessarily have to go to this special website and get delivery and returns done via the website? You could just go into the Walmart that you usually shop at, or the Costco, and you could actually buy these products yourself and then drop them off the next time you happen to be visiting a Walmart. That would take a lot of costs out of the system for the companies, and as a result, probably for consumers as well.
And as you say, there's certainly a push from consumers for companies to be more eco-friendly. And this is a problem that isn't going away as we create more and more trash.
Yeah, and I think what's really disturbing is it seems to be amplifying almost, it's exponential. And so, you know, as things get more and more developed, and as people get wealthier, everybody's just buying more. And we've shifted from a model that used to be much more sustainable into one that's unsustainable, because, I mean, it's plastic is an innovation, and it's only become thinner and lighter and cheaper and more convenient. And so on the one hand, it's really beneficial because it cuts down on food waste, it cuts down on transport costs, it has benefits for both consumers and companies. But I think if that waste is not collected, if all of that waste does not make it back to be recycled and turned into new products, then we have a big problem on our hands.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury joining us from London. Thank you so much, Sabra.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.